Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, it is a simple wooden ladder with five rungs on. It stands underneath a window on the second floor of a church. And it looks as though somebody was just doing repair work and forgot to put all their tools away. But this particular ladder has become known as the immovable ladder, because it has basically stayed in the same position since 1728. Now, physically, of course, the ladder can be moved. And it has been moved at least a few times in the last 291 years. It was moved twice in the 20th century, perhaps as part of a prank, but then it was quickly found and put back in its place. In 2009, it was temporarily removed to allow scaffolding to be put up for repairs to the church, but then it was put back in its spot. So if it can be picked up and moved, why is it called the immovable ladder? Well, you see, the building that it leans against is part of the complex known as the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. The church that's said to be built on Jesus' tomb. In 1757, 29 years after the first record of the ladder being there, the Ottoman Empire was controlling Jerusalem. And the Ottoman Sultan, Osman III, issued a decree that became known as the status quo, a phrase that we still use today. It refers to the Latin phrase in statu quo, which literally means in the state in which. Or, as we already know, status quo means keeping things in the state in which they already are. It means not changing anything. So when this decree was issued, it was declared that six different Christian groups would have the right to worship at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. The Greek Orthodox Church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Armenian Apostolic Church, the Coptic Church, the Syrian Church, and the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. The status quo agreement, the keep things the way they are agreement, meant that nothing could be changed at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre unless all six groups agreed upon it, which included moving the ladder. Because no one could remember who the ladder belonged to or why it was there to begin with, and because six different groups would have to agree on what to do with it, the ladder has basically stood in its original position for nearly 300 years. If someone would try to move it, conflict would break out. For example, in a similar light, in 2002, at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, a Coptic Christian monk moved his small folding chair just a foot or two into Orthodox space, simply so that he could sit in the shade. When he did that, a violent fist fight broke out and sent 11 people to the hospital for moving his chair into the shade. Sometimes it's just easier to keep things the way they are. But this is our world, isn't it? If you want to know what's sacred to someone, see how they react when you try to change it. If they get angry, they hold it sacred. It might be moving a ladder or a chair. It might be changing the color of the carpet. It might be having worship wars over how we're supposed to worship, whatever it is. We Christians can fight about some really stupid stuff. And Peter knew about these divisions too. In our reading from Acts 11 today, Peter is retelling what happened to him in chapter 10. There he had the famous vision of the sheet with the unclean animals on it. He was told, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And at first he refused because, quote, "I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." Or basically, "We've never done it that way before." Well, then he soon realizes that the vision isn't really about food at all. It's about bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, to the unclean people, to people like the Roman centurion Cornelius and his household. Well, because Peter had the vision, he listens and shares the gospel with them. And Cornelius and his family become Christians. By today's reading, word has spread to the believers in Judea about what Peter has done. And notice that their issue is not about him preaching to Cornelius and his family, or even baptizing them. The issue is, why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them? In other words, you can preach to them, you can baptize them, you can give them all these religious services. But how dare you treat them like friends and eat with them? It's like saying, there's nothing wrong with the Gentiles, but they're still not quite us. Right. Saying that there's nothing wrong with X means that you tolerate it. You don't celebrate it. You put up with it, but you don't rejoice over it. Like, there's nothing wrong with those other denominations, but they're still not us. Or to put it a different way, you would not say, "Oh, have you seen that cool movie that's out right now? There's nothing wrong with it." There needs to be more than just tolerating someone else's presence. There needs to be welcome and inclusion and celebrating. And remember that this is not a conflict between Jews and Christians here, or Jews and Gentiles here. It's a conflict between two different groups of Christians. The circumcised Christians, the ones with Jewish roots, and the uncircumcised Christians, those with Gentile roots. And this is a conflict that's going to be ongoing throughout Acts. What are the Jews who follow Jesus supposed to make of these Gentiles who follow him now too? What are they supposed to do with these Christians who are so different from them? Well, one thought is that the Gentiles have to become Jewish before they can really become Christian. Or in other words, they have to become like us before we'll accept them. So often, that's what we think hospitality means. We think it's about waiting around for somebody to become like us before really welcoming them into our community. But in Acts 15, in the famous Council of Jerusalem, it was decided that no, Gentiles do not have to become Jewish first. Right? I mean, all of us here are Gentiles and we're still Christian. None of us had to convert to Judaism before we could follow Jesus. So conflict in the church goes all the way back to the beginning. It has roots in Acts. It gets symbolized in the immovable ladder. And we see it in our own neighborhoods with different congregations on every corner. So then what are we supposed to do about it? Are we supposed to say our group is right and all the other groups are wrong? Are we supposed to say we're all Christian and so our differences don't really matter? Or to put it on a personal level, how are you supposed to respond when someone who's a Christian, and maybe even in this very congregation with you, rubs you the wrong way? What do you do when you see someone and wonder how they can be called a Christian if you're a Christian too? Your personalities just don't get along. You're so different from each other. You seem like you don't have that much in common. So what then? Well, that's when we see God at work. Because think about Peter's vision again. He was not looking for Gentiles to share the gospel. And at first he even refused. And the people in Jerusalem were not looking to welcome Cornelius and his family. But despite their reluctance, it still happened. So obviously it was not of their own choosing. Rather, God made it happen, despite how they felt about it. God made it happen by forcing them to learn new things. In chapter 10, Peter had the vision, which forced him to learn that it's okay for Cornelius and his family to be Christians. And in chapter 11, the believers in Judea listened to Peter, which forced them to learn it's okay to eat with Cornelius. Sometimes we don't want to learn from others. But sometimes we have no choice in the matter. We are part of a global church that reaches across this planet and throughout time. We are part of a church with people who are very different from us. And we have no choice in that. We don't get to say who belongs to the body of Christ and who doesn't. Or, to be more specific, that person who rubs you the wrong way is still included in the church just like you are. Yeah, you might not be the best of friends, but God is still doing great things through them too. When there are differences in the church, they can lead to either conflicts where nothing gets moved for nearly 300 years, or that diversity can help us see the variety of God's people and the multiple ways that God is at work in the world. We can either have a "this is the way we've always done it" mindset, or a "turn your judgment into curiosity" mindset. We can drag our feet, or we can celebrate God's diversity. And so, yes, we may have our silly, immovable ladders. We may have our status quo. But remember, that ladder still stands on the spot that celebrates the empty tomb. Even in the face of our divisions and reluctance to change, the tomb is still empty. God is still bringing new life, and variety is still happening. God is going to do this with or without our permission. And so, like Peter and the people of Judea, let's celebrate being a part of this diverse church. Blessed be the tie that binds. In the name of the one who unites us together, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.